Marvel Cinematic Universe has really done something that other movie franchises can only dream of, which is developing standalone movies that lead up to an incredible two-part finale, because first we had the Marvel Avengers Infinity War that a snap just left us into tears. It had action, emotion, dream sequences, and then there was Endgame. How does an entire world where 50% of the population was eliminated, how does that work when the superheroes don't have a lot of superhero stuff to do? With half the population gone, we're going to be talking about this incredible conclusion to this phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe on another exciting episode of A Cast to the Past, which you can check out a brand new episode each and every Sunday talking about our favorite movies, video games, and everything in between from the 80s, 90s, 2000s. But we talked about Captain America, the First Avenger, a little while back, and we promised that we would follow up after talking a little bit about Captain Marvel about this, because how often, Mr. McNulty, do we have a movie that just has so many things to encapsulate, to conclude? Ryan McNulty, what you think of that? Is it in the epic finale that you thought it would be?
I definitely think it lived up to the hype. Certainly, they really did make it feel epic. Was it a perfect movie? No, but it kept me entertained throughout, and I maybe only felt towards the end that, okay, yeah, this definitely feels like a 3-hour movie, but overall, I was very impressed at how they were able to keep things moving smoothly so that you didn't get tired or at any point. You know, they paced it very well.
I agree. And I should probably say my name. My name is Juan Velez. I am from Puerto Rico. And this is a two-man show. And the reason for it, it's not because Keith didn't want to watch the movie. I feel like it's been forever since a movie came out that it's still being sold out. Keith has actively been trying to get tickets. Like, I don't know about you, but when I got my tickets for the movie, it was 3 weeks beforehand, and I had to watch it on a Saturday because Thursday was already sold out. How was that process for you?
So the cinemas near me are Showcase, so I ended up signing up because there's a ton of movies this year that I want to see. I signed up for their version of Movie Pass. And that lets you book tickets in advance. So I signed up for it. I got my tickets about 2 weeks early, and I saw it on a Saturday afternoon. And when I was buying the tickets, it was almost completely sold out. Surprisingly, there was like 3 seats to the left of me that were totally open, but I'm pretty sure that they had been sold. So maybe it was someone who was trying to scalp tickets that was unsuccessful.
Probably.
But it was very strange to see that considering it was opening weekend and I fully expected it to be sold out. But yeah, it was like 2 weeks in advance.
So with this movie, currently it's sitting at 95% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and it's breaking all kinds of records. We can talk about numbers, but even, you know, when we record this versus when this episode comes out, this movie is going to be up there with Avatar, you know, which Avatar, there's been a big debate about. That movie sold a lot, but you don't really hear people talk about Avatar other than it broke records. While here, you have the conclusion to the cinematic universe, the conclusion to the last two movies, because let's not forget that Infinity War was originally going to be the first part, and then this was going to be called Infinity War Part 2. But I think it made sense that they changed it to Endgame just because I think it's a much nicer name. I think naming it Part 1 and Part 2 would maybe lessen the experience. But I feel like this is kind of weird, right? Every other superhero movie can stand on its own, talking about the Marvel ones. Like, you can skip a couple, but they do a pretty good job of catching you up. Well, with this one, if you didn't watch Infinity War, you're going to be lost, because whereas that one begins and ends with the conclusion, this one technically begins with the outcome of the previous one. We're still dealing with everything that happened beforehand, but in the most basic way possible. Ryan, I'm going to throw you on the spot, baby.
Oh, boy.
When comparing Infinity War and Endgame, which one do you prefer and why?
I would probably still say I prefer Infinity War, just because I think it's a little more well-rounded, and I really like the story they told with Thanos, where really they made him such an interesting villain, and they did a very good job of establishing his motivation. He didn't seem like the typical cookie cutter villain. It was a villain that actually made you think, like, does this guy actually have a point? Whereas Infinity War, when they kind of wrap things up, I don't feel that they really did Thanos as much justice in the end. But I still really like some of the things that they chose to do, and in a lot of how they dealt with the consequences of what Thanos had done. But I just think the part one is just a little bit more solid, not to take anything away from part two.
I'm actually going to agree with you, and I'm actually happy that we didn't review the movie immediately after the film, because I know it's a real weird example, but Red Dead Redemption 2, when that game came out, everybody was giving it 10 out of 10 back and forth. But now, you ask a lot of the same people, what do you think about the game? And now that's when they're getting really nitpicky about maybe the game tried to be too realistic and maybe not much of a video game. And I feel like whenever you watch a movie or play a video game and immediately review it, like the day of or the day after, you haven't had that chance to let it marinate. And for me, once I finished watching Endgame, I definitely loved every second of it. And I did not feel like it was a 3-hour movie. Like, for me, it went by fairly quickly. But the more I thought about it, I was more emotionally invested in what happened in Infinity War. And to me, it mattered a lot more. Where with this one, like I mentioned, the fact that it is a straight up sequel of not even, it's not a sequel to Spider-Man. It's not a sequel to even Captain Marvel. It's a sequel to an Avengers movie straight up. Like, if you don't watch Infinity War, it doesn't make sense. So it kind of uses that to its advantage of, well, maybe I don't have to talk about Thanos. Maybe I don't have to explain everything because I'm already assuming that you saw it. So the emotional investment in Endgame is more of, well, now what? What about Thor? That's a god. What happens when he doesn't have god stuff to do? Because to me, the most surprising thing is the movie starts off, and obviously this is going to be spoiler podcast. I mean, we got to talk about the movie in this detail, and we are going to slightly react to the Spider-Man trailer, which recently came out, which I'm very pumped for. But what did you think about them starting the movie, basically killing off Thanos, which to me, I thought that was going to be the movie.
I thought that was very powerful and a really cool way to just flip everything on its head, really, including Thanos, I guess. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people thought that was coming. They were like, oh, you know, the whole mission will be to really kill Thanos. But if you really think about it, what does that solve? It really doesn't solve anything at all. So I really like the fact that they kind of stayed true to his character in the first half of the movie, where that was his mission. That was what he wanted to do. And after he did it, he was just trying to live his peaceful life. And after he used the Infinity Gauntlet, whatever, got rid of the stones so that no one could undo his work, you know, he was just living his peaceful life. And then the Avengers show up and just murder him. Granted, he deserves it. But it really came out of nowhere. And I felt it was true to the character. Like, he shouldn't be super OP at this point because he's used this ridiculous thing that steals your life force, basically, to use. And it was a great, shocking way to really get things going.
And I thought it was good because you could tell that the Avengers were almost upset at the fact that Thanos was so chill about everything. Like, I accomplished my goal, so why would I be the bad guy? It almost felt like when they killed him, like, you almost felt bad for him. You knew he got rid of 50% of the population, right? He got that. But the fact that he's just a dude in a cabin, he's not wearing the Thanos clothing, he's just like a straight up guy, and then they immediately kill him. It's like, wow. It sets the tone of, what is this movie going to be about? Now, the one thing I want to quickly bring up is that a lot of the actors actually didn't really know what was going to be happening and where, you know, between the recordings of Infinity War, Captain Marvel, Endgame. And you can sort of tell that because I've tried to catch up with a lot of interviews just to see, like, What lines were the actors fed when they said certain things? Because one character that to me I did not like in the movie was Captain Marvel. And it was to me because she felt so out of place. She was very dry, like in a time where everybody is like You have Thor that's chronically depressed. You have Iron Man that's sort of like in this, acting like none of, you know, this is the past. I got to focus on my family. You have Captain America that's trying to do the support groups. But then you have the newest character just kind of going like, I'm the ultimate badass, but I'm not going to really be here all that much except for like two parts of the movie. So what did you think about Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel, just this movie tells me Captain Marvel is going to be a problem for the writers for movies to come because she's apparently just too OP. So they need her.
They got a nerf her, man.
Yeah, they're like, well, all right, Captain Marvel just has to, you know, my planet needs me. I'm going to go away for most of the movie and then come back during the fight sequence where I can be OP again. Yeah, I think it was a writing problem where if she went back in time with everybody else, that they would accomplish things way too quickly. So that to me says that they should have, like, I don't know too much about the actual Captain Marvel superhero, but it seems to me similar to one of those X-Men movies where there was the guy who could slow down time. He kind of screws off for the rest of the movie because he would trivialize everything. Captain Marvel seems like a very similar situation where in her own movies, obviously it's easier for them to craft a story around her weaknesses or whatever to make it seem like a good story and everything. But in the ensemble movies like Avengers, it'll be interesting to see how they use her moving forward because she might just be too OP. They may have to nerf her.
Yeah, and because when you think about the Avengers movies, the focus really is it's an Iron Man and Captain America movie, and then everybody sort of plays into that. And the fact that she hasn't been involved, there's no emotional attachment to her. So the fact that she just kind of like went in, went out, and then just when it looks like everything is about to end, she kind of comes in, but then she leaves. Like, it was a little bit too convenient. Like, for me, it's cool that such a superhero exists, but it's the same reason I don't like Superman. I don't like any Superman movie, and it's not even against the character, but most more so the character's special abilities. But then on the flip side, we have the Hulk, where in this movie, this is the most normal that the Hulk has ever been, because the man behind the Hulk just fully embraced the fact, like, whatever, the world basically ended, so why try to hide the Hulk? He embraced the Hulk, and surprisingly enough, I love the emotional implications of that, right? Just like, screw it. We got nothing to lose anymore. So then when he tries to like act like the Hulk, like the anger is no longer there. What did you think about that involvement?
I enjoyed the Hulk in this. I thought the comedy aspect of that character was done really well. And I think the comedy in this entire movie was done extremely well. There was a ton of really, really funny parts in this movie. I'm a little disappointed that it just kind of off screen happened where we get this normal Hulk. It does make for a good laugh because you're just like, what the hell's going on now? But that was kind of a critical part of the Bruce Banner character and him trying to become comfortable with his situation as the Hulk and controlling it. Now it looks like he's in complete control of it. We kind of missed that critical part, but I'll forgive it because Hulk's always been better as the side character, so it works.
Now, obviously, we're not going to have time to talk about every single thing about the movie because we could do a 3-hour review of a 3-hour movie, but before we talk about the time travel stuff, we got to talk about the thing that everybody reacted to, which is Thor. So I don't think anybody expected this, never in my life, because we talked about this. I brought this up in one of the previous videos about how so much of the marketing of these movies rely on fully attractive human beings. But then they go like, hey, Thor is depressed. He is just obese. He's drunk. He became an alcoholic. And it just works so well. And I was fully expecting in some part of the movie for him to like turn on the god powers and then just boom, six-pack abs or something. I love the fact that even when they went back in time and they got the outfits, he was still overweight.
Yeah.
It's like the smallest little detail, but I loved about that. What did you think about Thor's contribution to the movie?
I thought it was hilarious, and he he played it so well. Chris Hemsworth is amazing at comedy, and this was definitely no different. They did an amazing job of just making it hilarious, and I like that what happened really affected a character enough that they really are at their lowest point, right? They basically hit rock bottom because of this failure. And I mean, come on, that scene where he's in his cabin and his buddy from Thor Ragnarok is playing video games, and then he picks up the headset.
Master 69. Yeah,
he picks up the headset and it's like you have Thor yelling at you over Xbox Live. That's just something I never thought I would see in a Marvel movie, and it was amazing.
So then that leads up to something else, which is the entire or the majority of the movie, right? I feel like out of the 3 hours, the first two are dedicated to time travel because
part is like depression and dealing with the sadness of the situation. And I do like that they spent a lot of time on that. They didn't just gloss over, oh man, this is sad. No, you really see how this affected the world. And I mean, it was really powerful to see that monument when Ant-Man is looking at all the stones or whatever, and it's like, holy crap, it really sinks in how devastating this really was.
No, and the thing is that the first 2 hours are about that little bit of hope. Like, everything is lost, but everybody kind of goes like, but what about this? No, it gets shut down. But then you have Ant-Man show up, and all of a sudden that inspires people about what are some of the possibilities. They go to Tony Stark. Tony Stark has a daughter. And little things like that. And I just want to say that, you know, there were a lot of hashtags about don't spoil the Avengers. It's sad that the moment the little girl said something, I knew the conclusion, because some of my friends, I had a friend that said, no spoilers, and quoted on Facebook, I love you 3000.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not a spoiler. So in the movie, when the little girl says it, I'm like, God damn it. He dies, doesn't he? So the entire movie, I'm just like, come on, it's going to happen. So I feel like if I hadn't had that happen to me, I would have felt very different about this. But to me, it was like this immediate sense of disappointment. But regardless, the thing that ends up happening is that, yeah, they figure out a way to travel through time in a way that they don't change the past, but they can sort of change a couple of things. Like, and I love that even the explanation, they could tell how complicated it was. But I love that they didn't do the enhance thing. You know, in movies, whenever something's blurry, oh, enhance it. And they don't try to explain it. But here, they tried to make it seem complicated enough to make it be impossible. But it was possible because it was Tony Stark behind it. So they go back in time, back to the movies, back to the older movies, which is, to everybody that's been watching this for the past 10 years, it's got to be like bone chilling, you know, and just like all these things to like, oh, wow, here's the scene from the first Avenger. But then here's Hulk trying to be violent, except he can't really do that anymore. And to me, my favorite two things, which I feel like we should focus on quickly here. Number one is Thor going back to his past and meeting his mother, and then Tony Stark knowing what happens at the end of the movie. I feel like these are two things that really shape things up. So what did you think about the time traveling part of the movie, and what was your favorite thing about it?
I did really enjoy seeing clips of the other movies, even though I hadn't seen that particular Thor. I think it was Thor 2 that they went back in time to. But seeing that scene from the Avengers, they give you that really cool shot of when you see the entire original Avengers team in the past in that amazing shot that everybody's familiar with, and then you can see them all hiding in the side alley or whatever, looking at them and trying not to get noticed. And then that amazing Captain America fighting Captain America that's America's ass was one of the best lines in the entire movie. It was just really, really fun. And with this being the end of this era for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's awesome to kind of relive a lot of great moments at the same time. So it just really brings everything all together to wrap it up really nicely. Even if the time travel, I just say, sure, it's comedy that they're crapping on all the other time travel rules in other movies, but it's like, come on, Marvel, yours is just as convoluted as theirs. Don't act like yours is any better.
I feel like for me, Infinity War was the official last movie, and this one was a celebration of the cinematic universe. Like, this one was for, You've been with us for the entire time, all the way from the first Iron Man to Captain Marvel before this. So this is just like, let's go back in time and have a little bit of fun and see the characters that you thought that were gone, but they're actually not. So when you factor that in, I'd say like Infinity War and Endgame combined, first of all, it's like almost 6 hours. But in addition to that, it's like the perfect inclusion for all this. You know, when you compare this to DC, I feel like DC has just spiraled so out of control beyond repair with their movies. Even though they've had good stuff, they already did their Justice League. And I feel like they forever tarnished the possibility of doing things. I think the only thing that fans, myself included, will always think about, like, the what-if scenario. It's like, what if Sony wasn't in charge of the other movies, and we actually got Wolverine here? Which, I mean, Wolverine would have been part of the bunch. We're always going to be left with that. But any closing thoughts about Endgame before we react to Spider-Man, the trailer of Far From Home, which definitely ties in directly to this movie?
Mm-hmm. I would say I wasn't crazy about past Thanos kind of being the final Thanos, because, you know, it's not the same one that we had gotten to know and all that, but minor nitpick there. And then the passing of the torch that kind of goes on at the end. The thing is, I know given the timing and the contracts and of the actors and all that, we had to basically just in this movie, it's like, okay, Iron Man dies. Oh, Captain America. Yep. Sorry, guys. I lived my life in the past. Now I'm old now. And then, you know, Thor's like, I'm going to go to space, so you're the new king now. The fact that three of these things happen in one movie cheapens it a little bit. I know they basically had no choice, but the passing of the torch, you know, we watch a lot of wrestling, and when that passing of the torch usually happens, they've spent a lot of time building up the next people. I don't think that's there for the people that they pass the torch to for Captain America and the King/Thor thing. To what's her name, Valkyrie. I don't know the other guy's name, but see, I skipped a lot of Phase 2 movies, so I don't think they did a good job of getting us ready to accept those characters as kind of the next people taking that torch. You know, it should feel right immediately, and it didn't to me as a casual fan who hasn't seen every movie.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be something where my first thought a couple of days after the movie was, man, I really would just want to go back and watch all of them in order now.
Especially I'm doing
now.
It.
Yeah, but I feel like there's an added weight to the fact that we saw the conclusion. So now when we go watch the other ones, there's like the celebration aspect to it. Like, we know what happens at the end, but it's all about celebrating that. But the way that they concluded things with Iron Man, with the exception of me being spoiled of the ending, I love that interaction between Spider-Man and Iron Man. And I think that transitions for what you mentioned,
I
agree.
The Iron Man to Spider-Man, I'm completely fine with that. They had a whole movie with them together recently, so yeah.
But it makes sense, because if you notice with the other ones, I will admit what you mentioned, they did rush it a little bit because a lot happened at the one time. But when you switch to the Spider-Man trailer, which before we get to that, everybody watching and listening, please go to Twitter, Cast of the Past. Let us know what you thought about Endgame, because I know that, kind of like the Dark Knight trilogy, where people to this day debate about, is it Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises, which is the best one? I feel like we're going to be looking at Infinity War and Endgame for a very long time. And as time goes by, it's going to go from Endgame number one to definitely, I think, Infinity War has a lot more meat and potatoes to it. It's got a lot more substance to it. So please let us know. But then that takes us to Spider-Man, which is still the most fascinating thing, right? From the moment that they announced the movie, they said the movie takes place after Endgame, which people were wondering, well, what is it going to be like? And I love the fact that the trailer, they were very real about what happens. And there's a lot of little things, like from Tony Stark glasses, immediately, like one of the first frames makes reference to Iron Man. And the other thing is that we had the Into the Spider-Verse movie, which is not tied to this. It's an animated movie. But this movie does make reference to the possibility of a multiverse. Therefore, anything is possible. Anything could happen in the future. What's your take on that?
I hope they don't go too wild with that and get very convoluted. But I do have really high hopes for this Spider-Man movie, Far From Home, because Spider-Man Homecoming is probably one of, if not my favorite Marvel movie. So it's got a lot to live up to. And I based on the trailer, I'm not super confident that it will be as good as Homecoming, but I hope it's going to be really good. And it's cool that it's Spider-Man dealing with the death of Iron Man, the death of Tony Stark, and now he's really on his own, and he's trying to kind of take on that role that Iron Man took as really the hero of, you know, the city. And how is he going to do that? And then we have all this stuff, like you said, with the multiverse stuff. So it has a lot of pieces in play, and I'm very curious to see how they play out with it. I'm also very curious, based on what happened with Thanos' snap, you kill half the population, right? Think about this. Half the people you went to school with disappear for 5 years. Then everybody comes back. Well, does that mean you have friends who used to be in your school
that are now five grades
ahead of you? How does that... I doubt they'll even talk about that, but I'm curious if they address that.
What I like is that. I feel like this movie is going to be the initiation of a brand new face. And the fact that they concluded it hinting at, hey, you know, we need a new Iron Man. And they, in the trailer, straight up make reference to, like, are you the new Iron Man? And then if you talk about the multiverse, there could totally be a scenario where they pull a new Spider-Man into this universe, and then Tom Holland, you know, Peter Parker, transitions to the world of Iron Man. I just love the fact that there's still one character that can have that passing of the torch in a way that naturally makes sense with Peter Parker. As you mentioned, not everybody else necessarily had that.
Or is this the way to pull in the Gwen Stacy Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, or whatever? Who knows?
Anything's possible. So this is the part where everybody begins speculating. So don't be afraid to go to the YouTube section and make a comment. Let us know what you think about that, because obviously, as time gets closer, maybe we'll be talking about another superhero movie. So don't be afraid to also recommend that. Like, now that this phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe has concluded, what would you guys like us to review? Like I mentioned, the Batman movies. Like, I'm just saying, I love me that trilogy, and I don't think that this would be a bad time to react to that, because I don't think DC is going to be going upwards. DC does some incredible animated movies.
Shazam was a step up.
It was a step up, but I mean, Marvel, it's just so hard. Yeah. And I prefer DC superheroes. I want to be very clear about that. I prefer DC, but I like the Marvel mainstream movies more. But don't be afraid to follow us on social media, A Cast of the Past, where we can talk about each and every episode. You can also suggest future stuff. You can send us an email to acastofthepast@gmail.com. And if you're curious about previous episodes that are now available in our backlog, whether it be podcast apps, which you can leave a review, and that really helps. Ryan, what do we got in the menu?
Yeah, just some other episodes you can check out. We talked a lot about Marvel movies today. We did a review of Captain America, the First Avenger. So going back to phase one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we give our take many years later on how we feel about the movie today. If you want to check out some other movies reviewed, maybe on the not-so-good side of the movie world, we did a review of the Super Mario Brothers movie, and that was a joy to go back to.
That was a thing.
We also take a look at video games, one of which being Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, one of the most popular sports games of the late 90s, early 2000s, really a franchise that changed the game in video games. So that was great to take a look back, and you can take a look at that yourself over on your favorite podcast app or YouTube.
Absolutely. So until next time, thank you for watching and listening, and we will be back with another exciting episode of A Cast
to the
Past. Keith, you're not here. Okay, Ryan, let's just collectively do past in 3, 2, 1.
Past.
Kinda. We got the job done. Take care, everybody.